Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy. Hallelujah. Well, we've prayed over the congregation, we've prayed over the offering, and now we're going to pray over the word. Amen. More prayer, more power. Father, we thank you for the precious Holy Spirit, for the gift of the Holy Spirit, given to lead us and guide us into all truth. And I pray as the lies of legalism are being shattered in this family, in this season, that we would not pick them back up. That we would not give them entrance. The Bible, your word says that at the entrance of your word, there's light. And light dispels darkness. And you don't want us to walk in that. And we know it. And so today, Lord, we declare that we will embrace the grace that you have for us. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, embrace the grace. Embrace the grace. It's interesting, as I'm studying monarchies and all of this stuff, you know, that the king and queen, they had to be addressed as your grace, your eminence, whatever, your lordship. Always, right? You are a subject in that kingdom, but the highest address was your grace. Can you imagine if you had a king that you said your grace to and he had no grace? Many of them had no grace. And I am not here to beat up the church. I believe God is working in his body all over the world to bring us to deeper revelations of his grace. Because his grace, Dad's grace, is not a theology. There's obviously behaviors that flow from having a relationship with grace. But grace is not a theology. Grace is a person. And his name is Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So, honestly, if you were a subject in a kingdom and you addressed your king as, you know, your grace, and he was a man of grace, you were very blessed. You were very blessed. You were required to call him your lordship or your grace. But think about that. Living in an earthly kingdom where, as a subject, you look to that person for rulership, for leadership, for elevation, for position, for provision, for guidance, for all of these things. And many times it wasn't your choice. You were born into this kingdom. You know, we don't get to choose where many times we're born. We don't. Our parents are just there. So many times they end up in a bad place or a good place or whatever. It's kind of like a lottery. But I'm just telling you, it stunk to be born into a geographical location where there was a kingdom and to be subject from birth to a king that had no grace. That you had to call your grace, hoping, you know, with wringed hands. Oh, have mercy on me, King. Have mercy on me, your lordship. And if you walked into the courts where they sat on their earthly thrones without doing everything right, you could be thrown in the inner prison and beaten for not saying everything right, not looking right, not being prepared right. It was awful. I want you to love Jesus, okay? Because the Bible says that you can come, how? Boldly before the throne of what? Grace. We've been taught traditionally through all of these other monarchies and kingdoms and things we've grown up. Well, we are to honor authority, but many times you don't come boldly. There's no boldness in it. Why? Because you've been bullied. You've been bullied. You've been beaten down. You've been manipulated. By authority. Who you needed grace from. So what's happened in much of the church world is, you know, the people, we're all one in Christ. God never intended for his servants, like myself and pastors, to live in some kind of, you know, elevated position where we're untouchables and we can't walk among the common people. And they don't have access to, you know, us. That we are to serve them, to wash their feet, to demonstrate grace to the family. He's the king. We're the subjects. And anytime a leader becomes a bully, in order to manipulate people into serving grace, who they represent. Is everybody following me this morning? And begins to manipulate his subjects and misrepresent your grace, your lordship. This displeases him. Wow. It displeases him. We are what? We are his ambassadors. Say, I'm an ambassador. See, you're an... The Lord was speaking to me about all this morning, so I'm just going to slow down, and I'm going to go with what the Holy Spirit was showing me, because we're still in this series, and we're going to be here for a while because of grace. So not only are you an heir, but you don't get to act like monarchies of old, where you walk around with your nose stuck up in the air, and... You get to eat on the upper level, and all the servants, all the lowlifes, all the people that, you know, do all the menial jobs, they have to eat in the barn or out in the side yard or down in the dungeon or whatever because they're serving you. We're to serve one another in love, but our Lord, his lordship, let me just say it like that, his grace, saved us, brought us all to the top level, eliminated the dungeon and the back room. Said, I will no longer give access to only lords and, you know, duchesses and dukes. And I'll invite the Dukes of Hazzard up in here. Even Daisy Duke in her booty shorts and her high heels. The Dukes, all the Dukes get to come up in here. Because I'm making you all heirs. You know that, so I'm trying to get you to understand something. When you've lived in the dungeon, and you've lived in the side yard, the side shack for all those, you know, people that do the menial things in the monarchy or the kingdom. And you always tremble in the presence of all of the heirs. It's really difficult for you to transition from that place to the top level. And what would happen is many of the monarchies would fight that when someone did fall in love with an heir or somehow got access to an heir. You know, that was like not supposed to happen. Because you don't have the right position or station in life to be at this level. So what happened is many of the leaders would belittle these subjects and try to put them back in their place. You don't belong up here. You need to go back to your place. Right? They stand as a stumbling block between the person who is being elevated and doesn't give his lordship or his grace or her grace or lady, whatever, a chance to see their greatness. You're not to be seen or not to be heard, only to be seen. You don't speak to the elites. You do what you're told. And some of that has crept into the church. So we don't operate like a loving family where everyone serves one another in love. Many times we operate as a monarchy. So instead of there being one big banquet room where we go and to the highways and the byways and go get them out of the alleys and the streets and bring them all to the table, we're like, oh no. They aren't dressed right. Or they don't talk right. Or they're not the right nationality. Or their family doesn't have status or position. And Jesus came and said, I came to eradicate all of that. I'm the King of Kings. I'm His Lordship. I'm His grace. And I'm tearing the veil that used to separate the unholy from the holy. And I'm going to wipe everybody's slate clean. I'm doing away with hierarchies and all of these positions and all of that. And I'm telling you this, I'm the heir. I'm making every single one of you my exclusive heir. I'm inviting every one of you to the table. And now I'm going to throw open the courts of heaven, and release the scepter and say, come on in here in your time of need. Come when you need something from me. You have as much of a voice as anybody else. And not only that, I want you to get rid of this outsider mentality. You belong here. And I'm going to raise you up as my ambassadors. And now, because of the relationship of grace that you have with me, I want you to go out and represent me properly to a hurting and a dying world that doesn't need your judgment, doesn't need your schnickety-doo-dah, look down your nose. Pastor Rick used to call it ocular rectitis. It's where the string behind your eyeball that goes to your butt is wound up really tight, and you look like this. They don't need that. Sometimes I still hear him. I'm sure Mother Didi does. I could always tell when those two started shaking and she was laughing really hard that he was like preaching the gospel according to Pastor Rick. While I was trying to be serious. And it was always at a very holy moment. But we need to laugh, right? Here's the thing. Not only am I shattering false paradigms. But I'm training you to recognize the toxicity of legalism and religious pride. And I do not want you to point your finger and go, you, because I have to had to repent. I have a name for them. I call them religitards. But God says to love them. Listen, we've all been retarded. And I'm not saying that as a disrespect, but the word retard means to be backward. It means to be behind. Right? We've all been retarded at times in our relationship with the Lord and the way we represent Him. And I know you're bumping into it because some of you are telling me you are. I know some of you are recognizing mindsets and things within your own mind and life, belief systems that are being dismantled right now. And it's a good thing. None of us should feel ashamed or blamed or condemned or anything like that. Here's the thing I'm trying to do is get you from a place where the internal religious critic is destroyed in your life and where you can recognize it in someone else's life and not treat them with the same kind of treatment that they're putting on you. Because it is only the empowering grace of God that is dismantling it, first of all, in your own life. And that is going to dismantle it in the lives of your family members. It's the grace of God that empowers us to do the impossible things that God's kingdom requires of us. And I love this statement because I heard it from Bill Winston. I heard it from, I think it was Jesse Duplantis as well. Something to this effect. The miraculous power of God cannot operate in a condemned soul. The miraculous power of God cannot operate in a condemned soul. And one of them used the illustration of, it's like having a glass of water. The Bible says that the entrance of His word brings light. And you know that the power of God is Him. He is the light. He says, I'm the light of the world. And light dispels darkness. Think about that. Light overpowers. And darkness cannot absorb it or even like understand it. Think about that. Light. So if you take a glass of water and you take a flashlight and you try to shine the light through that, when it's pure, think of the condemnation as mud. When it's clean of that, what happens? The light comes in and it goes through. It's able to affect everything else around it. Think of the water as your soul. So the miraculous power of God cannot operate in and through a soul that is condemned. It's like putting mud inside of that vessel. And even though the light is there trying to make entrance, it can't go anywhere. So not only are we not empowered, but we can't empower anyone else around us. The absence of grace leaves you with judgment and condemnation. And Paul said, there is therefore, when? Now, right now, no condemnation for those who fast and pray every week. For those who attend church every single week. For those who never have a lustful thought. For those who never have a drop of alcohol. For those who never swear. Come on, Bible students. I'm not condoning these other things. But we have a mindset because of wrong teaching that if we do one of these things, there's no grace for it. So what happens? We fill our heart with condemnation. Now, the light cannot make entrance and bring revelation, power, right? And it stalls us. I like the saying, revelation causes you to be a revolutionary. Like, you can't bring change. You can't be an agent of change when you're walking around with all that stuff in your soul. I'm going to get to some word here in a moment. Our responsibility is to believe the word. We all fall short of the glory of God. The grace of God. We all fall short. But here's the thing. We're not condemned. He's not condemning us. Our conscience condemns us. The enemy condemns us. And people that don't know how to appropriate the truth of God's grace and his word condemn us. And there's nothing more powerful in a child's life than the condemning voice of a parent. There is nothing more powerful in a new baby's life in the family of God than a condemning voice in a leader. That's why we got to get it right. I don't want to lead you in legalism. If there's any root of it, I'm begging God right now. Lord, I curse it. The roots, the fruits, the links, the tentacles, and the testicles. I don't even want it to have a seed. That's another story. That is a true story. I'm gonna get to something really quickly. Listen, I want it out of my life. I don't want it in the youth department. I don't want it over your children in the children's ministry. I don't want it in the prayer room, because we've had this in the past. Some prayer leader that still had all kinds of legalism, and they come in and pray like Pastor Simone's, you know, message. Oh, Lord, I wish you would remove all these unholy, unthankful, ungodly, you know, deadbeats here. And, you know, they start praying out all of their unresolved issues and spewing their vomit on everybody else rather than releasing the grace of God. I've taught you, pray the solution, not the problem. A true prophet can see the problem and still speak exhortation and encouragement and life to an individual that doesn't need their judgment. And even though you know it, you shouldn't say it. Because it's the grace of God that's going to empower them to live a life that God wants for them. So because of grace, we're called. Because of grace, we believe. Because of grace, we're saved. Because of grace, we're justified. Because of grace, we're accepted by God. We're accepted. In many of these monarchies, you could not be accepted by his lordship or his grace if you weren't from a family with position and power. Everything was about alliances. You had to bring something to the relationship. Think about that. Or you were an outsider. What do we bring to this relationship with God? What do we bring? And he goes after us. He says, I want alignment with you, not for what you can give to me, but for what I can give to you. All I ask from you is love and surrender. And now I want to give you everything I have. You're accepted by God. Because of grace, your sins are forgiven. Because of grace, you overcome sin. That's the word of God. Whenever I struggle with a sin, the worst one I struggled with, believe it or not, was not the drugs. It was cussing. I'll smile at all of you. How many of you were like really bad with that? Come on, just show me your hands, because I don't want to stand up here all by myself, naked. Like, man. Everybody pretty much did that one. But listen, words are powerful. And words that are not taken care of in your conscious mind will get downrooted in your heart, and out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth speaks. So when it was just spewing up out of my mouth, I was like, Lord, I've got sin in my heart. I need you to purify my heart. David said, search my heart, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Let the meditation of my heart. Think about that. And the words of my mouth be pleasing in your sight. And so every time something would, you know, slip out of my head and come out of my mouth, and I just felt like I couldn't pray, that I'm not called anymore. Everybody with me? How many of you have ever felt like that? You let it fly, and then immediately it's like, just forget about it. You're never going to make it. Forget it. If you do not release grace to yourself right there in that moment, guess what's going to happen? It's going to get worse and worse and worse. Beating yourself up instead of releasing grace to yourself is counterproductive. It's the grace that helps you overcome it. So the more I understood how loved I was, and you know, it didn't fit who I was. It didn't fit this beautiful position that God had brought me into and so graciously given to me. You know, how many of you want to go to an embassy and have an ambassador of that country meet you at the door and say, well, welcome, you little mother pizza. What the hell did you hear today, you piece of? It's like, what kind of country is this? And who put you up in here in charge to represent his grace? Everyone here? I'm telling you, I wrote the Trucker Dictionary. That was very, very talented, huh, to stop at mid-sentence. It's not becoming of your position and who you are in the kingdom. But just because you struggle with it because of where you came from doesn't mean you're not an ambassador. It doesn't mean you're not an heir. It just means you're still struggling with some things that don't fit who you are anymore. Yeah. Let's sing it. Amen. 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 Let it be. Let it continue. We're so used to someone beating us up because parts of our old self show up. And so it feels normal to us. We've got to begin to normalize grace. I'm loved. I'm accepted. I'm called. I have been given faith. I've been given sonship. I'm accepted in this family. I have position. I have power. I have authority. Not to beat people up, but to put the devil down and trample on him and to rise up in the power of God and see the power of God flowing in and through my life to such a degree that I can be around other people with their weaknesses and know if they ever get a revelation of the grace I walk in and that I should be demonstrating to them, perhaps their weaknesses will start to diminish and they will begin to walk in the true power and strength of God. It's not going to be me condemning them and judging them that's going to get them into the transformation that God wants for their life. Hello? You can praise God for that. Go ahead and just give him thanks for that. So I want to go quickly. Worship team, you can join me up here. I'm going to only give you one scripture today because I felt the Holy Spirit just shifted me this morning as I was in prayer. And he said, I want you to talk about this whole earthly hierarchy, monarchy, the way people were treated, you know, the mindsets that have been passed down through the kingdoms of this earth. We are not a part of that. We are in his kingdom, and he operates way different. Some of us have roots from English monarchies in our blood. Some of us have roots from, you know, African monarchies and all kinds of different nations. And, you know, the Bible says that the sins of the fathers are passed down to the, you know, many, many generations. And sometimes it's just cultural stuff that we were taught. And I want you to know this. We're to respect all men. We're to love all men. And women. And as ambassadors of the king, we are to represent his grace. And here's what he says about us, that we've been sanctified. Boy, that they would beat that one to death when I was in a legalistic church. And make sanctification, which I'm going to tell you what it means right there. It means to be set apart and made clean. Make it your responsibility to do it. I find that one of the highest forms of disrespect for the blood of Jesus I've ever heard. Because if the burden of responsibility is on you to clean your life up, then Jesus would never have had to come and die on the cross. Don't disrespect his grace and his lordship. Here's what he says in Hebrews 10:10. The writer says, we have, past tense, been sanctified. It doesn't say we will be when we've done everything right. It says we have been. How? Through striving? Through beating ourselves up? Through condemning ourselves? Through just trying to do better? Apart from the one that can help us? Because we can't possibly go into his throne room of grace and find help in our time of need, because we are such bad, 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 bad people that have to clean ourselves up before we can even walk into the holy sanctuary of all the holy people. How? Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, also known as his grace, once and for all. I love the way the Passion says it, but by God's will, we have been purified and made holy once and for all through the sacrifice or offering up of the body of Jesus, the Messiah. Well, today I got dirty. I feel so dirty. I said dirty words. I thought dirty things. I did somebody dirty. I'm so dirty. Dirty, dirty. Should have named this message Dirty, Dirty. Dirty, Gertie. Listen, if you got some stuff on you, put the blood on you. You know, when you grow up in filth and that's all you know, and you never wore a clean garment and you don't know what that feels like, dirty's normal for you. But when somebody gives you some new clothes and gets you all cleaned up and puts robes of righteousness on you and dresses you in white, and you get used to being clean, you don't like it anymore. You're like, ooh, what got on me? Pastor Rick loved white shirts, but he had like a hole in his lip. We could hardly ever make it through a day without something getting on the shirt. And he's like, I love white shirts and I hate it when stains get on my shirt. When you know that you've been sanctified, you've been purified, and you've been made clean, and there's not one stain that it could ever get on your garment that would cause your garment to be ruined and thrown out. I hated trying to get stains out of white garments, because as to date, depending on what kind of stain it is, there's not an earthly agent that I have discovered. Everybody still with me? I'm about ready to land it. And if you have found one, ladies or men, please let me know. because the worst culprit lately is mac and cheese. Do you feel my pain? Mac and cheese. I don't even think you should put that stuff in your children's body. If it will stain your shirt to no repair, think about what their little guts must look like. Right? But I have not found an earthly agent or solution that can resolve every stain. The only one that I have found, it almost seems like a stain, but it's the only one that can remove anything that gets on your white garment, is the blood of Jesus. Woo! Come on, stand to your feet and give him the biggest praise ever. Thank you, Lord, for the blood. Thank you, Lord, for removing our sin, our stained up, filthy garments, full of self-righteousness. Your word said that our righteousness is as filthy rags in your sight. All of this self-righteousness, I do this right and this right and you do that wrong. All that stinks, Lord. It's stained. And we thank you today for releasing the blood that makes us white as snow. We thank you for removing our sins as far as the east is from the west. We thank you, Lord, that when Satan reminds you of our sin, you say, "What sin? Because I remember them no more." I pray today that as we go forth from this place as ambassadors who sometimes get a little stain on us, that we would be quick to apply your blood to our own life, and that we would not allow the clouding of condemnation into our soul. That we would be like light holders and transmitters to a world that needs your miraculous power flowing through us. I pray today that your grace and your lordship would be seen in our lives. And for anybody who has never received you as Christ, as Lord, as Savior, that they would do so right now. We have made even salvation complicated. Paul did not say, if you shake, snot runs out of your nose and you tremble and you manifest that you will be saved. It could certainly be accompanied by those things. He said, if you believe where? In your heart, and you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. The church has said you got to walk to an altar. You've got to put some money in the offering. You've got to go through a 10-step class to make sure that you're really repenting. No. To repent means to change your mind. It means to turn away from the world and to turn to Christ. And that's all he asks you to do, is to turn to him, not religion, not rules and rituals, but to turn to him as a person and have a relationship with him so that you can have eternal life. There is no way, other way for eternal life. So just say it from your heart today. If you believe he is Lord, say, Jesus, you are Christ, Lord of my life. Thank you for welcoming me. Your grace, your lordship. I turn away from the world kingdom and I turn to yours. Thank you for receiving me in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. If you need prayer, please don't leave without it. Our team is trained. They will pray for anything you need for them. They're here for you. We love you, and I will see you on Wednesday night. I got a good word for you Wednesday night, too.
Well, we'd like to thank you for joining us today. Thanks to those who give generously to this ministry. It's because of you that makes this ministry possible. You can click the link below in the description box to give now or visit soulharvestwc.org/podcast for more information. If you've enjoyed this podcast, you can subscribe. You could also share with your friends, click the share button, take a screenshot, and also share in your social media stories and tag us at SoulHarvestWC. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.